Hello, my name is Brian Chesmore, and this is Session 3 of Equipped for Small Group Leadership. This session is entitled Building a Relational Community. As we saw in Session 1, we have three goals for our small groups: the development of relationships, the cultivation of fellowship, and the practice of spiritual life together. In this session, we're going to look at the value of leading our groups to become a community of friends, a community of gospel-centered, genuine relationships. Letter A. Relationship is key to all we're trying to accomplish in our groups. In the small group context, men and women transformed by the gospel can form relationships characterized by trust, characterized by integrity, allowing them to be known and to experience care. Relationships are not the inevitable result of meeting together. The most successful small groups value relationships. They live out their lives together, and they see their small group as more than a meeting. It's vital for us as small group leaders to grasp that relationships come from more than just meeting together. Genuine relationships require effort, and leaders play an important part in helping a group cultivate and develop friendships by leading and motivating their people in this direction. Letter B. The gospel makes true relationship possible. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came to save sinners through his death on the cross. The gospel brings together people who, in numerous ways, are very different from one another, different in age, race, vocation, hobbies, preferences, but it is our common understanding and experience of the gospel that defines our relationships with other believers. We simply don't experience true relationship, as God defines it, apart from the power of the gospel. Because of the gospel, we are able to experience genuine friendships, where we can let others know us as we truly are, as we pursue spiritual growth together. The reality is, Jesus Christ died for sinners, sinners like you and me. Joining a small group means we are sinners saved by grace, joining with other sinners, also saved by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel frees us from having to impress others, and it models for us the sacrificial love that we're to show to one another. I think of Mark 10:45, which reminds us that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom. Though we aren't called to give our lives as a ransom, because that was a unique call upon our Savior, we are called to emulate his example of sacrificially serving those around us. The small group gives us a great context to walk out the example of our Savior. Letter C. Relationship builds the trust necessary for fellowship. When people know and experience our practical care and interest in their lives, they are likely to trust us when we are urging them to make progress in the war against sin. We're going to cover what that looks like in more detail in sessions 5 through 7. But the point really is that relationship and fellowship go hand in hand. Building genuine friendship establishes a foundation that allows us to challenge each other to pursue spiritual growth. I regularly need encouragement, and I often need provocation to grow from those in my small group. The relationships we have really paves the way for deeper fellowship in our small group. Not simply a means to an end. Relationships are a gift from God. Although one aim of biblical care is to encourage one another to make progress in living the Christian life, it would be an error to think that building relationships is only a means to that end. Relationships are a gift from God to be enjoyed and treasured. As you seek to lead your group toward relationships, think of the following three contexts, which form sections 2 to 4 of this outline: meetings and activities, serving together, and evangelism. We're going to take some time now to talk about each of those three contexts. Roman numeral 2. Leading the group to relationship through meetings and activities. Letter A. As the leader of your group, your responsibility is always to seek to provide a model for others to imitate. While you cannot be the source of every relationship in the group, you can set an example by the way you pursue others. As you pursue others in your small group, your example will be noticed. It will be emulated by your group members. Let people know that you do not see serving them as a leader simply as a ministry opportunity. Make it very clear to them that you consider it a joy to know them and to build friendships with them. Letter B. Take a genuine interest in people. Draw people out by asking questions about something you know is going on in their life. Your care, as expressed in remembering their circumstances and asking questions about those circumstances, will be used by God's Spirit to encourage them. Opportunities abound for this, and they take no extra time. Before and after a care group meeting, at Sunday meetings, or in other contexts where you happen to meet a member of your care group, you have opportunities to demonstrate that you really care about them. Letter C. New group, new relationships. New people coming into small groups often do not know one another. Wise leaders will seek to help the group get to know one another before jumping into the deeper waters of fellowship. Think back to when you were the new member of a small group. It helps to remember the investment of time that you and others made in order to experience close, genuine relationships. Letter D. Make meetings relational. Try to provide some relational element in each meeting. This means planning for it. This does take work, but you'll find your work pays off in significant dividends. For example, sharing a meal together will not necessarily build the group together. If it's needed, lead in seating arrangements or provide everyone with a question that allows each person to relate a story from his life. You really can use almost any activity to create opportunities for people to come to know each other better. We have a great addendum of possible activities and possible relational questions provided at the end of this outline. Letter E. Ideas for cultivating relationships. Again, reference the addendum at the end of this outline. Also, plan relational events into the regular schedule of your meetings. Appoint someone in your group to be your fund director. Remember that wise leadership is often expressed through delegating responsibilities. Here's another opportunity. Give this person direction and arrange for the group to have time together to enjoy the gift of laughter by doing special things together on an occasional basis. This gives you an opportunity to make memories together. Letter F. Be aware of the issues that pertain to season of life. Here's a helpful thought for you as a leader. Please keep in mind the realities of each unique season of life and seek to lead in ways that reflect care for your group members. A group comprised of people who do not have children at home typically have more available time and the flexibility to spend time together. A group comprised of parents of young children has less flexibility, and a group with parents of teens less time. Understanding the needs of your group will help you to set realistic goals for relating to one another. Consult with your pastor and experienced small group leaders to sharpen your ideas and to set realistic goals for yourself and for the group. Roman numeral 3, leading the group to relationships through serving. Letter A. We all need help with the basic tasks of life, and sometimes our need is big. At the birth of a baby, a tragic accident, a hospitalization, the death of someone close. Your group provides basic, on-the-ground support for needs such as these as they arise in the church. Typically, your group is relationally closest to the need. As a leader, you lead in coordinating care, and in so doing, you help foster deeper relationships. Letter B. You may need to talk initially with a person in need to determine whether you should mobilize the group or simply ask another individual to help in the situation. Letter C. In a crisis, the leader is responsible to ensure that care is being provided. This does not mean that the leader is the one primarily providing the care, or even organizing the care. In fact, if you provide all the organization and care, you deprive the group of practical ways to help them build relationships. Look for faithful people in your care group whom you can lean on to provide leadership in these ways. These really are key times for you as a care group to grow together relationally. Letter D. Let me read for you some examples of practical service. You can provide family meals following the birth of a child. You can help a member move. You can care for the sick or injured with meals, cleaning, errands, childcare, or simply a visit. You can supply money in a time of genuine need. You can provide meals and support for a family during a time of grief. You can provide childcare to a parent who cannot afford it or has no one to help. You can help an elderly member or single mom with basic chores. You can lead your group into church serving projects together. There are many more ways that you could add to this list where you can come alongside the group members in your small group and care for them in their time of need. Letter E. Note, with many of these needs, it is important that you involve your pastor with an awareness of the need and how you propose to help as a group. He may want to be involved in caring for the person in need, and he may have guidance for you as to how to best help. Roman numeral 4, leading the group to relationships through evangelism. Letter A. One of the great privileges of the Christian life is sharing the gospel. Yet our relationships with unbelievers are often neglected. By bringing our care group into knowing about, and if practical, meeting our unbelieving friends, co-workers, and neighbors, we can advance the progress of the gospel. Personally, I have been well served by the men in my small group as we discuss the evangelistic opportunities we have. We each have a few lives we are seeking to intentionally develop relationships with for the sake of the gospel. So when we get together, often we're asking each other how those relationships are progressing, and we're praying for each other in our attempts to share the gospel with unbelievers. Letter B. Investing in relationships with unbelievers is a part of being a witness to the gospel. It is in and through these relational investments that we often have the opportunity to share the gospel or invite someone out to a small group or church activity. Letter C. Leaders should be an example of cultivating these relationships and speaking about the people they are seeking to invest in. Letter D. Leaders who are seeking to build gospel-centered small groups will keep this evangelistic mandate as a non-negotiable element of the group's relational life together. Letter E. Groups grow closer as they seek to further the gospel in the world together. Find ways in which your group can support together the outreach efforts of the church. Pray for the unbelievers with whom you are developing relationships with the goal of sharing the gospel and inviting them to an appropriate church event. Letter F. Your small group can also sponsor its own outreach activities. For example, small groups in our church have in the past hosted barbecues for their neighbors. At these events, they're able to build relationally and use these events as springboards to invite those unbelievers and their relationships to events the church is hosting. You can also create a project to serve an elderly or a needy neighbor. What is important is that the group is excited about the idea and you encourage maximum participation. One easy way to build excitement is to ask the group for their ideas for outreach and build enthusiasm for those the group agrees are doable. Letter G. Take an evangelism training course together as a group and then follow up on the contents when you meet together. All right, let's talk about your assignment for the next session. Listen to the recording as you read the outline in session 4, Building a Spiritual Community, and be prepared to discuss it. Also, it's important that we're growing in our own application of the truths we discussed in this session. So part of your assignment is to come prepared to share with the group some area of need in your life. It could be with your own soul, could be with your marriage or your parenting, or a job situation or a temptation, anxiety, or something else. But come ready to share that area of need. And we're going to get help from one another, as we've talked about in this session. Also, if you haven't done so already, please take time to read the addendum, 77 Ideas for Building Your Group Relationally. In that addendum, there's provided for you some excellent getting-to-know-you questions, some getting-to-know-you group ideas, and as well, there are ways to celebrate the growth, the transitions, and the milestones that various members of your small group are experiencing. These are really just practical handles for applying the session that we discussed today. Lastly, let me just reiterate how grateful we are for the investment you are making into small group leadership through Equipped. This session on building a relational community really is so vital for building a community of gospel-centered believers. Our prayer is that you would experience God's grace as you apply these values to your own soul and to the small group you serve. Thank you.